Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Miss Susan, thank you for being here tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 14, and let's look at verses 1 through 12 this evening as we study God's Word. Proverbs, starting there in 14, verse 1, we're talking from Solomon's heart, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's giving these compare-contrast Proverbs to his son Rehoboam. And as he does, he gets to this proverb here, and he talks about the wise woman. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. The wise woman. This woman is going to be spoken of in detail when we get to the last chapter of Proverbs in chapter 31, and we'll study her in detail. But tonight, when we look at the wise woman, and talking about the building of her house, it is not necessarily the building as far as a structure as it is the nourishing of a house in the Hebrew. So the wise woman nourishes, the wise woman takes care, the wise woman builds her house, and you men know that the heartbeat of the home is a good wife and a good mother. A good wife and a good mother are irreplaceable. When you talk about this woman, you talk about the house functioning as it should function. I think about this morning. My wife turns into a fashion designer. She goes from a fashion designer to a beautician. She goes from a beautician to a dentist. She goes from a dentist to a caretaker of making sure they have everything that's needed as they get out the door. Guys, you know if that was left to us, it would look like a tornado would hit it, right? So when we think about the woman building her house, the woman having a nourishment for her kids, for her husband, you see things that are taken care of. You see an order to the house. You see a structure to the house, that the house is not in disarray, that the house is not in shambles, that when the kids come home, that there is this structure in the house of what the kids do from this point to this point to this point to this point, and there is this structure. And ladies, listen, we get off that structure sometimes, but you have the heartbeat of the home to you, and you instigate that into your family members in your home. I was blessed to have such a godly mother. Blessed to have such a godly wife. Blessed to have grandmothers and a great-grandmother who I looked up to tremendously, that invested in me the priorities of life, which was faith in Christ Jesus. It is tremendous, ladies, what impact you have on your kids. They always talk about the role of a father. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, the role of a mother is crucial. I had this student one time, and she was in what they call special education, and had to do a lot of modifying her assignments, had to do a lot of giving her notes. I had a lot of things to try to help her achieve her goals of passing. I'm a little special ed too sometimes, okay? So I'm helping her in this. And in helping her in this, fast forward 15 years later, is a 30-year-old mother sitting in my office telling me that her daughter will not go to school. And she will not come to school. And there is nothing that I can do, Coach Mize, to make her come to school. And I said, yes, you can. You are the mother. There is a difference between being a mother and being their friend. And what we have here today is so many mothers trying to be friends instead of being the mothers in the household. You don't need friends. You've got all the friends you need, adults, here tonight. What you need is to be the adult that God has called you to be. And in this proverb here, He has called women that are wise, they build their house. There is this nurturing in the house. My prayer is, and I can see this now in my girls, I'm really scared about this. I'm afraid that when they get of age, they're not going to want to go move out. They're going to stay in the home because mama and daddy take care of them so good. The wise woman builds her house, nourishes her house. But look at here. The foolish woman pulls it down with her hands. The Hebrew phrase, which simply means is, the foolish woman has neglected her house. She's too busy on Facebook rather than being in the good book with her kids. She's too busy watching the soaps instead of sitting down with her kids and doing some things. Yesterday was just a whirlwind, right? And I'm outside working. The girls are outside. They wanted to plant some things. We're planting some things. And I'm just about give out. It was hot yesterday. And I come in and sit in the chair. And Macy, well, Daddy, will you play Barbies with me? Well, Macy, why don't we go back outside? Let's go back outside. And then Jacqueline takes her time to go in there and play Barbies with Macy. See, a wise woman builds her house and invests in those little things. And you say, oh, Michael, that don't matter. Oh, it matters a lot. It matters a lot. So, ladies, I would encourage you, spend time with your kids. Spend time with your grandkids. Take care of your husband. Because the wise woman builds her house. The foolish woman pulls it down with her hands. The house is neglected. The kids are neglected. The husband's neglected. I could tell you story after story of dealing with people in the public and dealing with things at their home that where I have seen ladies take their career over their kids. I had a situation where I was dealing with discipline on a student, and he told me, he said, Mr. Mize, my mama is never at home. I said, why ain't your mama at home? He said, because she works all the time. And when she has days off, Mr. Mize, she'd rather be at work than be at home with us. And boy, you talk about breaking my heart. Now, he may have just been telling me that. But the more and more I got to know the family, the more and more it was the truth. There are some sorry, they don't even deserve to be called mamas. They don't even deserve it. The foolish woman pulls down the house with her hands, neglects it, makes it a mess. Constant drama because the woman is foolish. Verse 2, he who walks in his uprightness, there's none of us in here upright. The only way we're upright is because God saw fit to send His Son for sinners like you and me. Well, it's the only way we're upright. And the way that we're upright is through His righteousness. He who walks in the uprightness fears the Lord. Fears the Lord. There is an awe to the Lord. And I think sometimes in the Baptist church, I think in a lot of churches, we have forgotten that. That there is an awesomeness to the Lord. An awesomeness to the Lord. I didn't read those verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning for my health. I read that for the church's health. Because I think there's a lot of people that just take the Lord's Supper and they just think, oh well, go on about their business. They laugh during it. They make jokes during it. They take it nonchalant. And then they wonder when they wind up sick. And they wonder when they wind up with weaknesses. They wonder when people around them in the church are dying. And Paul made it very clear, when you take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, these are the things that will happen to you. And I think in this church, we've got a lot of bitterness. We've got a lot of backbiting. We've got a lot of this junk going on. And we need to go to the Lord and ask forgiveness and fall on our face and humble ourselves. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, His exaltness will lift us up, not us in our own doing. And so when this happens, what do we see? We see a people that is upright has a fear for the Lord. A fear for the Lord. That this is hallowed ground we come in on. This is not some beauty shop. This is not some skating rink. This is not some bowling alley. This is the house of the Lord. This is His hallowed ground. And when we come into His hallowed ground, we need to fear the Lord. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I don't know about you, but I want knowledge. Therefore, fear the Lord. I won't even think in my mind of saying God's name in vain. Because that's how much I fear the Lord. I heard my daddy say one time out here, said I'd be careful around those people that use God's name in vain. He said I'd take a step away from them because I'd be afraid lightning's going to strike them. There's a lot of people don't believe in that. But let me tell you something, I do. Our God is a mighty God. And he will not put up with his name being mocked. His name is holy. And so the uprightness of the Lord, you that are upright, you fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But Solomon says in Proverbs 1:7, he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise it. They despise wisdom and instruction. I understand, church, when you get angry with our young people coming out here, and you get angry about finding things in trash cans that have no business being out here. You get angry because they come out here and they vape and do things that are ungodly on this hallowed ground. I understand that. And we should be convicted by that, because the fear of the Lord is something that brings us knowledge. But for these people that are fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. And there are so many things that we think we can put them through these 12-step programs. And there's so many things that we can put them through these classes to try to make them better. There's only one person who can take us out of the miry pit and place us on the solid ground, and that is God the Father. It's only one. So when we look at this tonight, the one who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he is who is perverse in his ways despise him. The Hebrew word means basically to be devious, a deviant, somebody that is deviant-minded, somebody that has a perverted mind, a mind that is absolutely deviant. I remember one time I picked up a boatload on the van to come out here to youth group one night, and there was one guy that got on that van with a guy that I knew really well, and I thought, well, he needs to come and hear the word, you know. Right? And I just had, you know, the Lord gives you that discerning spirit. And I had that discerning spirit about that guy. There just wasn't something right about him. And I watched him like a hawk. I told Brother Terry, watch him like a hawk. I said, there's just not something right. I told Miss Kathy, watch him like a hawk. And it wasn't sooner or later, it wasn't 3 months later, he got convicted of sexual child abuse. And he was right here among our midst. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's wolves among the sheep. And you and I have got to be diligent. And you and I have got to be discerning. Yes, I know they need to hear the Lord. They need to hear the word of the Lord. But if they're coming out here for the wrong reasons, we as a church need to take a stance and say, you need to go somewhere else. And so when you look at this, he who is perverse in his ways despises the Lord. They hate the Lord. They hate everything about the Lord. They hate the preaching of the word. They hate to sing songs. They hate to pray. They hate everything about it. And I got to ask those people, then why do you even come to church? Why do you even come to church? Verse 3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. Fool here is somebody that is arrogant. Somebody that is arrogant. You've probably met people like that before. They think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. They're arrogant. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. This arrogant, thick-headed fool, as the Hebrew would say here, this rod of pride is a rod that will be used as a punishment. And it is a shame that some of our tools of punishment have been taken away. If we went back to living like we did in the Old West, we wouldn't near have the crime that we have today. If we went back to enacting justice the way it should be enacted, we wouldn't have the problems that we do today. And what we have is a bunch of soft judges. We have a soft judicial system. We have a judicial system that waits months and months on end because of backlog, where they can't handle the crimes effectively and immediately. And so there we got people all the time getting out and back out on the street. It really bothers me when I think about that. I watched that video of those two deputies pull over the drug runners there in Florida. And the girl had her six-month-old baby in the car seat, and that drug runner was wanted for I don't know how many different crimes. And the sheriff said this has been a case where the justice system failed. This guy had so many felonies and he was out on the street. And he opened up with an Uzi and started firing on the police before they got him. Guys, this is not just in Florida. This is right here under our nose in Mineola, Texas. I don't know how some of the vermin still walks the streets of Mineola with the crime records they have. But it happens. And so you and I, when we look at this today, there is a rod of pride, this rod to be used as a punishment. There used to be effective, immediate punishment. In Texas in the 1880s, it was called a hanging from a tree. Took place right here in the New Hope community. You say, oh, that's cruel and inhumane. That's the way they took care of crime, swiftly and effectively. Then it went to the electric chair, and people from the left said, oh, that's cruel and unusual punishment. Let's get rid of the electric chair. So it's in the Huntsville Penitentiary State Museum now. So now we go to lethal injection. And church, listen to me. We need to stand by the death penalty. Why? Because God instituted it. And when He says an eye for an eye, He means a tooth for a tooth. And so when we think about this, when it's handed over to the judges, when it's handed over to the appropriate authorities and tried in the appropriate cases, then it needs to be enacted. The rod of pride. But listen to this. Praise God tonight. The lips of the wise will preserve them. People that have lips that are full of wisdom, those wise words keep us from getting the rod. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? In anything that you and I did, it's all what God's done through us in His glory. So I was telling the kids in the Revolutionary War, when the colonists spoke out against King George III, that was one of the grievances in our Declaration of Independence, is that number one, they could be imprisoned. Number two, they could be put in stockades. Number three, they could be put before firing squad. And the kids were like, that's not fair. And I said, think about it today. You speak out against certain things in this country, and they blacklist you. And I said, I just want y'all to think about this. When I was a senior in high school, there was a guy by the name of Michael Fay, an American student that went to the city of Singapore in Asia. When he went to Singapore, he went over there with a deviant mind. And he went over there with a deviant mind. And listen, I've had a deviant mind before, and I've paid with the rod of punishment in various different ways. But he went over there, and he took spray paint out, and he tagged a bunch of cars, graffitied them. So he went before the court system, and the court system says, here in Singapore, you're going to be imprisoned 83 days, and you're going to be given 6 stripes with a Singapore cane. And oh, the liberals over here in America said that's cruel and unjust punishment. And they fought tooth and nail. And the Singapore government come back and said, okay, you think that's unfair? Here's what we'll do. He's still going to serve 83 days in jail, but instead of 6 lashes, we're just going to give him 4. Now that is a deviant mind that went over there with a purpose to cause chaos. And that country over there has a very low crime rate. That city over there has a very low crime rate because they enact punishment with a rod. If we still enacted punishment in our school systems with a board, we'd have good schools again. If we still had a country that enacted the rod to people doing these deviant crimes, our crime rate would go down. But instead, it goes skyrocket through the roof. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, church. All you got to do is get back to the Word of God. I remember Brother Archie Allen, one of our deacons here, our oldest deacon. His wife, Gwen, gave me a shirt one time, had a big old picture on the Bible of it, and it said, read the instructions. That's all you got to do. Read the instructions. I wish our country would get back to reading the instructions. Where there no oxen are, the trough is clean. The manger is empty. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Solomon is talking here about cattle. He's talking about having an ox in the manger, an ox in the trough being full of food. It takes time. It takes cleaning. But at the end, when you have that ox, number one, you're going to have food. And number two, you're going to have a great harvest because of that oxen. And Brother Schaefer, the other night in our Bible study, he kind of tickled me when he talked about John the Baptist. And he said, when I think about John the Baptist, he said, I think about that song by Jimmy Dean, Big Bad John. Well, I've had that song in my mind all week, Big Bad John. I like that song too. But my dad used to have a Brahma bull right over here, and his name was Big Bad John. And Big Bad John was mean, lean, fighting machine. And he'd come up to the fence and he'd look at us and you could just barely reach out and touch his nose. And he'd shake that big old head. But I'm going to tell you what, Jerry Bruce Mize kept the trough full. Jerry Bruce Mize kept the cow lean, kept him mean. And Jerry Bruce Mize loaded him up into a trailer and took him to the slaughterhouse. And Big Bad John took care of our family. Okay? It says here, where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But listen to this. Much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Of an ox. Verse 5. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A faithful witness always tells the truth. No matter who it makes mad, they always tell the truth. I always appreciated those kids when I'd get them in the office. I said, Mr. Mize, can I just tell you the truth? Yeah. Yeah, you sure can. Man, I'd hug their neck and say, yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate you being honest with me. And a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness, they utter lies. It doesn't matter if they're under oath, as we've seen this through the book of Proverbs. Doesn't matter if they're under oath, they'll still tell a lie. A liar is a liar. And you can see right through them because they always are telling a lie. Man, you know these people. They look you right in the eye and lie to you. They'll tell you what you want to hear, and they're just lying to you right to your face, stabbing you right in the back. A faithful witness does not lie. Praise God for that today. I hope and pray that we can be considered faithful witnesses for the Lord. I hope that we can not be a false witness, that when people come to us, all they're ever going to do is lie to you. It's a shame to say that. There's people I know in the church. It's a shame to say this tonight. But I can't believe a word they say. Because all they do is shoot lies to you. Isn't that a shame tonight? Well, I tell you what. If we ever had an altar call, these altars need to be full of people up here. Because there are people that will just look you right in the eye and lie to you. False witness always utters lies. Verse 6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. The contrast to that is the knowledge is easy to him who understands. Boy, that is such an awesome proverb. Let's talk about that. This is neat to me to think about this. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. Okay? You and I can seek all we want. But when you are depraved, you'll never find it. Never. The Lord is the one that opens your eyes. The Lord is the one who opens your ears. It is not by anything that we do. And so all these people that say, oh, they've made all these life changes, you can make life changes until the cows come home, okay? But until the Lord Jesus Christ takes a hold of your heart and changes you from the inside out, there's nothing that can save you. Nothing that can save you except Jesus Christ. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. Member of our church. Been out of church for years. See him at the gas station. Miss you. Wish you was back in church. Love to see you in church Sunday morning. My church is at the VFW. Okay? Understand. I'd love to see you at New Hope Baptist Church on Sunday morning. As a matter of fact, I'm not sitting on the back pew anymore. I'm sitting up on the front pew. And you can come sit by me. Michael, I'm just not part of that church out there anymore. Well, brother, you were supposedly saved. You were baptized. And your membership is on this roll out here. And we love you, and we want to see you back in the will of God. Not going to happen. I find my relief, I find my love, I find my belonging at the VFW. Okay. A scoffer trying to seek wisdom. Man, I encounter these every day of the week. People in our church struggling. People in our church struggling with mighty things in their life. People in our church, I just don't understand. We've got all these things going on in our life, and the first place that you need to get back into is you need to get back into church. You need to get back into Sunday school. You need to be at church on Sunday morning. You need to be on church on Sunday night. You need to be in Bible study on Wednesday night. You need to be back in church, and then your problems will not seem so big. But trying to get that across to somebody that is a scoffer, you'll never be able to do it. And I have tried, and I have tried, and I have pleaded, and I have begged. And people will give you what you want to hear. And I'm going to tell you what. There's not a preacher in a pulpit today that can change a man. There's not a church member in the pew that can change a man. There's only one who can change a man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been told that people have problems with me in this church. I've been told that people gripe about me in this church. I've been told that people get aggravated at me in this church. And that's fine and dandy if they do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a scoffer that is looking for wisdom, you can go to all the self-help books you want to. You can go to all the extracurricular meetings you want to. But if you want to find true wisdom, you will find it in the Word of God among His people in His local church. The scoffer. But praise God tonight, I pray you get it. I love this verse. Knowledge is easy to him who understands. Knowledge is easy to him who understands. We know what we're supposed to do. I come here out of obedience, and I also come here out of love. I come here out of obedience to the Lord. I come out of here for the love of the Lord. I come out here for the love of the flock. I come out here to praise our awesome God. I come out here to fellowship among His people. I don't come here because I've got it checked on my list to do. I don't come out here because we know that it's the right thing to do before the eyes of the Lord and the eyes of the people. I come out here to praise the Lord in a local assembly, and I pray that that's why you're here too. See, guys, it's easy when we have been given knowledge of the Lord. And when we have been given knowledge of the Lord, praise God, we understand. We don't get our feelings hurt. We don't get upset about little things. We don't get... I'm in the pulpit. I can't say what I want to say, but I want to tell you tonight, under the Holy Spirit, I just want to let you know that when you understand why we come here, it's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about the minutia that weighs us down. It's about when we come into this house, we come to praise the Lord. Man, if we all understood that, if we all really got that, do you know how awesome that would be? That would be incredible. But you who have knowledge that has been given to you by the Lord, you understand that. So that when you come here on Sunday mornings, you know that it's not about you. When you come here on Sunday morning, it's not about what song's in the hymnal. When you come here on Sunday morning, oh, we're in the Gospel of Mark again. When you come here on Sunday mornings, you know that you're here. It's easy for you to understand. You're just here to praise the Lord. You're just here to praise the Lord. Verse 7. Kids, listen to me tonight. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. There are people out there today that speak without knowledge, and all they do is offer you nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Go away from the presence of this foolish man, this arrogant, thick-headed, hard-hearted man, when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The lips of knowledge. It amazes me in schools when you see people that are attracted to certain people. And you see these people with this foul mouth, with this demeanor about them that's just, I don't understand. And I see these kids just flock to this. And we try to train up our girls, and I was kind of harsh about it. And Jacqueline was like, Brooke, if they're in your class, you be sweet to them. If they're in your class, you talk to them. If they're in your class, you be kind to them. You exemplify Christ to them. Whereas Daddy was like, you better not ever come home wanting to go down there to Spencer's buying that black gothic junk, because it ain't ever going to happen in this house. And boy, I just had to have some stark, some talks with her. And listen, you're going to come across people that girls like girls and boys like boys. In this house, that don't fly. And I had to have these very frank conversations and explain these things. And man, you talk about tough, it's tough. But parents, that's what we're called to do. Grandparents, that's what we're called to do. Because there's so many of them now, it just blows my mind. We just need to let kids be who they are. No, we don't. When they're under your house, they follow your rules. Because you are the adult. Okay? And so with this, there are a lot of people out there that are very foolish. And so we try to train our kids up. When you see these foolish people, you stay away from these foolish people. Stay away from these foolish people. When you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. This prudent in Proverbs is always spoken of in a very radiant type language. Most of the time it's not. In other books of the Bible, but in Proverbs it is. The wisdom of the prudent, the shrewdness of a man, the shrewdness of a woman. What he's saying here is this. The wisdom of the prudent, the one who is shrewd, they think through things before they act. John and I were talking about situations today where people act very emotionally. And I'm going to tell you what. I have worked with and I have worked for people that act on emotion. And you will be on eggshells all the time because you do not know what's going to happen next. You may have been in relationships like that where the husband or wife is just up and down like that and acts on emotion. And man, it is terrible to be in that type of situation. Okay? The prudent man, the shrewd man, understands his way because he always thinks things through. I'll never forget, I worked with a dear old lady at Alba Golden, and it was my first or second week on the principal's job, and I found out real quick when she come to tell me something, take it with a grain of salt. She said, there's a Donnybrook in the junior high hallway. I took off on a dead sprint over there. Because when I hear the word Donnybrook, I'm thinking the Royal Rumble in WWE. I'm thinking people getting slammed. I'm thinking chairs going across the head. I'm thinking a war zone's going on. I get over there and the halls are calm. Like, what? And the teacher was like, Mr. Mize, you didn't have to come over here. I was like, I was told there's a big old fight over here. She's like, no. So-and-so just shoulder blocked this other kid. That's all that happened. But this lady said there was a Donnybrook. So, lesson learned. When she would come to me and tell me these things to get me worked up, I would just sit there. Okay. Well, aren't you going to go do something? Let's wait. Well, what are you going to do, Michael? Are you just going to sit here and let it happen? Let's just wait. There's two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. The prudent man understands his way because he listens to both sides. And as he listens to both sides, he discerns and he deciphers what needs to be the next protocol for the situation. People that act emotionally, they're not prudent. They jump right into a flame. And listen, I've worked for people. If the first person, when he got to work at 6:45 in the morning, got to him and told him something, it was the gospel truth, and he emotionally acted on that all day long. And then good night. Did we have to feel the wrath for it? Right? Some of you know what I'm talking about, and others are you looking at me like, that's me. Emotionally. My prayer for you tonight is that we can be wise to being prudent. And we can understand our ways. We think things through. But the folly of fools is deceit. They think their way is right. But it always ends up in a mess, don't it? Always ends up in a mess. My prayer tonight is you're not into folly that you think is right, because Solomon says the folly of fools is deceit. Verse 9, fools mock at sin. That word there is interesting because it simply means to wallow in it. It means that they're unrepentant. It means that they're never sorry for it. It means that they just continue doing it over and over and over again. And nothing will change their mind. Nothing will change their heart except the power of Jesus Christ. Fools mock at sin. Okay? But praise God tonight. This is a great verse of His glorious election. This is a great verse in His standard of grace for His sheep. He says, but among the upright, there is favor. That favor comes from God. You who have favor on you tonight, oh man, all you can do is just praise His name. Among the upright, there is favor. There is favor. There is this abundant favor that He gives His sheep. There is goodwill. There is acceptance. Not because of who we are, but praise God for who He is. Verse 10. Boy, this really hit home to me. This is a personal verse. The heart knows its own bitterness. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Do you know what? You don't know me. But I know me really good. And my heart can get really bitter. Do you know that? And when my heart gets really bitter, I can get really frustrated. I can get really down. I can get really unkind. I can get where there's no joy. I can get where a lot of pastors and churches try to run it like a business and bring that corporate attitude into a church because they're dealt with corporation type problems all the time. Instead of this place not being a corporation, but this place being the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ comes together, the gifts that the Lord has given to us, we are all to come together and to give those gifts to one another so that this body is not walking, this body is running, and we're running to that finish line for the glorious upward call in Christ Jesus. But the corporation tells you what? No, you got to deal with it this way. There's a step plan to it. No, there's not. Not in the church. Church is totally different. And so when the church comes together, we come together and the Lord has gifted us with all these different spiritual gifts so that this body works in unison together to give Him the glory that He deserves. Nothing else. Nothing else. So when we look at this tonight, the heart knows its own bitterness. Amen to that. I can be a Debbie Downer. Do you know that? Okay? I can be somebody that gripes and complains. Just ask Jacqueline. She's seen me at my worst. Okay? Where I just get fed up and just get down on life. And this, the heart knows its own bitterness. We know ourselves. And when we look in the mirror, I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror at who Michael Mize is, I see a wretched sinner in need of a Savior. And I am so thankful that Jesus Christ saved my soul. That's the only way that we could ever make it. And then in this, when the heart knows its own bitterness, your heart knows its own joy. And a stranger does not share its joy. A stranger does not share its joy. These are individual, private feelings. That only you own these feelings. Let me just say this, and I'm gonna be blunt with you, church. But I want to say it so that this verse gets hit home. We had a family visiting our church. And this is not a knock on New Hope Baptist Church, as it is maybe for us to be more cognizant of who we are and who we stand for. This family come to our church. And as this family come to our church week in and week out for approximately a month and a half, only two people spoke to them. One of them was the family that invited them to come. And the other person was somebody that went out of their way to make sure that that family felt welcome. And after visiting with this family, they visited another church, and everybody in the church made them feel welcome. And I said, our church is a loving church. Our church is a welcoming church. You just got to get to know people out there at New Hope Baptist Church, but you'll love it if you ever just plug in. And he said, well, hey, how about we go to lunch sometime? Let's just talk. Yeah, let's do that. Love to do that. And I'd love to sit down and just visit with you. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. When that family comes in here for the first time, love on them. Make them feel welcome. Introduce yourself. I know COVID's got us scared to death. But you know what? COVID is not the Great Commission. Jesus Christ is called to tell us to go. And when those people come to us out of nowhere, we need to be a people that welcomes them. We need to be a people that tells them, thank you for being here. We need to be a people that says, we're glad you're here. This morning, nobody else could experience this joy like I could. You couldn't. We had a family here this morning that brought their daughter, and their daughter brought her husband and brought his little girl. And he waited for me after service and spoke to me and told me, man, listen, just glowing about New Hope Baptist Church. The lady texted Jacqueline after the service and said, look, this is the first time that my husband has actually stayed awake during a sermon. This is the first time that my mom and dad and us as a family have worshiped together. It was special to us. I'm going to tell you something, church. We need to recognize that. And that, to me, brings joy to our heart. And all the bitterness that is inside of us from menial things that don't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to the kingdom of God goes to the wayside because joy has replaced that in our heart. And you may not can experience that joy, but I can experience that joy because I have known them for a long, long time. My prayer tonight is that you have joy in your heart and you know where that joy comes from. It's not because of you. I didn't get an inflated head because, oh, you preached a good sermon. No, I praise God that He ordained their steps to be in this certain pew on this certain September Sunday to hear the Word of God preached. That's who I praise. And that's where my joy is found. Verse 11. The house of the wicked will be overthrown. The house of the wicked, those who are wicked, you know what happens in their house. It ends up in a mess. It'll be overthrown. The Hebrew word means to be demolished. It means to be finished. It will be evaporated into nothing. I think about people that have gone through divorces. I think about people, their families fight, husband and wives, and the kids are just torn apart. And I appreciate what Brother Curry said in our Sunday school class this morning and our fireproof study, our kingdom marriage. I appreciate Steve is pushing forward with this. It's going to be fantastic. I've already gotten so much out of it. And divorce can never benefit anyone. And so you and I that have these young couples in our church, we need to invest more into them. Invest into them. Because, see, the house of the wicked will be overthrown. It'll be demolished. It'll be finished. Divorce, family fighting, whatever it may be, the wicked's house will be demolished. But praise God, listen to this. I love this compare contrast. You and I don't even have to have a house. We can have a tent. We can have a tent. And he says, the tent of the upright will flourish. The tent of the upright will flourish. You ought to listen to Wayne Wansley's testimony. Just ask Wayne. Say, Wayne, you ever lived in a tent? Let him tell you his story. Let him tell you how good God has been to him. And you see this, the tent of the upright will flourish. That tent, it stands up to the storms because it's not on the sand. Praise God, that tent is on the foundation of Christ. It doesn't matter if you live in a barn. Doesn't matter if you live under a bridge. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your tent will flourish. Your family will flourish. Praise God for those who have Christ tonight as the foundation of their home. Verse 12. This is repeated again in Proverbs 16:25, so it must be important. There is a way that seems right to a man. It simply means that man thinks that his path is always straight. You ever known people like that? Nah, I'm right. You're wrong, preacher. I'm right. My way is right. Don't you even try to talk me out of this. My way is right. Boy, I tell you what, those people are stubborn. Stubborn as government mules. I mean, they won't listen to anybody. There is a way that seems right to a man. A way that seems right to a man. But listen to this. Its end is the way of death. Now, I don't know about you, but I told you I fear the Lord. That verse right there is a very fearful verse. A very fearful verse. Sin and folly lead to death. And all of us in here know that the wages of sin is death. There's a day coming to where, let's just face it, you and I are going to experience death unless the Lord says, I'm coming to get my bride. And when we experience this death, there are some of you in here tonight that may say, I'm scared to die. And there's others of you in here tonight that say, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise be to God, to Jesus Christ, I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going to be when He calls me to His home. And my prayer is that you can say that with assurance and you can say that with confidence tonight. To know that the end is the way of death. But praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And my prayer tonight is that you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word's impactful. Lord, your word sharpens your sheep. And Lord, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for calling me into teaching your word. Lord, for studying your word. Lord, but not just being a hearer of the word, but Lord, going and being a doer of the word. Lord, let us make an impact wherever we're planted this week for the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray for our church. Lord, I pray for our people here that if there is bitterness, that if there is discord, if there is unharmonious fellowship, Lord, I pray that that junk would just be set to the side. And Lord, for however many hours we come out here to your house, for however many hours we come out here to praise and worship you, that Lord, we can do it without ego, that we can do it without flesh, and Lord, we can come and worship you how we're called to come and worship you, and that is in spirit and in truth. I pray that for New Hope Baptist Church tonight. Lord, as we go into our brief meeting tonight, I pray that your will is done. I pray that you're glorified. I pray that everything that is happening in this church, from the mowing of the grass, to the preaching of the word, to the filling of the baptistry, to the cleaning of the fellowship hall, that everything that is done in this church is done for the glory of you. Lord, challenge us. Lord, humble us. And Lord, put on our hearts a calling that we cannot deny. Lord, to do your will for your glory in your kingdom. We love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ.